Our scripture reading this morning is from the concluding verses of the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. If you'd like to follow along, it can be found on page 34 in the New Testament in the Pew Bible. As we prepare to hear God's word, let us pray. Holy One, guide us by the Spirit of truth to hear the word of life you speak, that in our lives and our life together, we may give all glory, honor, and praise to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Let us listen to the word of God. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountains to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So as Steve said, this is we have here the closing verses of Matthew's gospel, of Matthew's account of the good news of Jesus here on this mountain in Galilee. After all has been said and done, this comes to us here just six verses after Matthew's account of the empty tomb and Jesus' resurrection appearance to Mary and Mary. And if you remember that message they got from that heavenly being at the empty tomb way back on Easter Sunday, we read it, where they received this message: "He has been raised from the dead and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him." And so now, when all is said and done, here they are, these 11 disciples. Perhaps even in this, a stark reminder of all that has been said and done, right? It's not even the full 12 at the moment. It's just the 11 there on this mountain in Galilee, and they meet Jesus. Matthew choosing to end his telling of this good news story and account of Jesus here on this mountain in Galilee. I think he does that because we might then think of all those other times on a mountain. That time when Jesus first began to teach back at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, up on a mountain. Or that moment a handful of chapters ago from this, that moment of transfiguration after which Jesus was set towards Jerusalem for that final time. Or perhaps we might even think of that other time on a mountain, that time during the testing, Jesus' testing and temptation at the beginning of it all, there in the wilderness, there when the devil took him to a mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, "If you would just worship me, all these kingdoms will be yours." But now one last time on a mountain. So perhaps this here is even the culmination of all those other times. Back on the Sermon on the Mount is when Jesus began to teach. And here he calls his disciples to now go and be the ones going and teaching the nations, all the peoples, to live into all that he has commanded them. Or back at the beginning when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and on that mountain tempted with the prospect of ill-gotten, cheap, and easy authority. Only here now, after the way of the cross, through the way of the cross, all authority in heaven and on earth is his. And these closing words back, we might think back at that mountain of transfiguration, the glory of God in Jesus was shown and his identity proclaimed, "This is my Son, the Beloved. declared that voice from the cloud. And now here on this final mountain, the very closing words here reaffirming who Jesus is, his very identity. And remember, Jesus says, I am with you always to the end of the age. Who is Jesus? The beloved and the one who is with us always. Literally, it says, all the days. I am with you all the days. I am with you today and tomorrow. I was with you yesterday and the day before that. And I'll be with you 3 days from now and next week and the week after. And when weeks turn into months and months into years and years into even a lifetime, I am with you all the days, even to the very end. And into the new beginning of all things, I am with you. So Matthew ends here. And he sort of ends where he began. I am with you always, to the end, to the culmination, to the fulfillment of the age, Jesus says. Here, where Matthew closes, Matthew ends his telling. But do you remember... Do you remember Matthew's opening chapter? Do you remember all the way back to Christmas time, where Matthew began his telling? After those opening verses of genealogy, he says this, now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. And then he tells of an angel appearing to Joseph in a dream about Mary, who was with child. Look, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. The very first and last word on Jesus, the very one who is God with us, the first word on Jesus, and then Jesus' last words about himself, I am with you always. And all of this is amazing and profound, and I think even more so because I think what I actually love most about this passage is verse 17, the second verse we read this morning. When they saw him, they worshiped him. And then most English translations say, but some doubted. Most say that, but not all. There are a couple major English translations. The New American Bible is one. That's the primary translation used by our Catholic sisters and brothers. And then also there's an updated edition of the New Revised Standard Version. They translate the verse. They both translate the verse this way: when they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Not they worshipped and some doubted, but they doubted. And they do this because they write it this way, because in Matthew's writing, in the Greek he wrote in, the word some is not actually there. It simply says, they worshiped, but they doubted. It doesn't say that they over here were faithful, and so they worshiped, and then some over here, well, they were doubting, so we don't need to worry about them. It just says, this is who they, all of them, were, a people worshiping in the midst of their unsure hesitations and doubts. Worshipped. There's a guy named Mark Allen Powell. He's a Greek and New Testament scholar, and he has focused a lot of his work on Matthew's gospel, and he is well aware of this phrasing here at the end, and so he once mentioned this issue about this particular verse in one of his books, and he talks about wondering why English translators so often insist on putting the word some in there instead of just they. And he tells of a time when he asked one of the Bible translators, someone who was on one of these Bible translation committees, he asked him, why do you do that? You know what it literally says. Why do you add the word some there? And he writes of this, I asked the Bible translator that question one time and got the following response. Well, the verse wouldn't make sense otherwise. No one can worship and doubt at the same time. And Dr. Powell relates his response to this translator where he just says, well, I invited this fellow to visit my church because we do that all the time. I don't know about you, but I love this vagueness and this tension in these disciples that Matthew leaves us with, because that is where the promise shows up. The promise of who Jesus is. They worshiped and they were unsure. When they saw him, they worshiped even while they doubted. And it is to this group, after all is said and done, there in Galilee, not in Jerusalem where you'd want to be to make a big splash, but off in insignificant Galilee, there, this still incomplete worshiping and struggling to believe, filled with all manner of hope and trust and doubts and uncertain questions, there off up on a mountain or a hill somewhere. This is who receives this promise and this charge. And to all their contradictions of hopes and fears and faith and uncertainty, Jesus speaks, and he speaks a promise. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus says. Not you. So you are free to worship even when you're uncertain. It's okay. And you are free to go, even in your doubts, it's okay. To go to teach and baptize, even when circumstances are wavering all around you and maybe even in you, it's okay. In the midst of even our doubts, our wonderings and waverings of whatever challenges may arise, Jesus gives a promise, gives a charge and a commission that are all held in this promise. Yesterday, about 12 of us that were able to make it together gathered here in the fellowship hall and spent a good portion of the day thinking and remembering, even imagining about this particular church, Calvin Presbyterian Church. We considered things big and small in us and in the world over the 51 years of this church. Things that were carried into and out of the church year in and year out. We reflected on points of change, of challenges that arose, and of joys and successes that arose as well over these 50 plus years. Of times when things had been hard, and what we still carry from that, and also where things had been joyful and what we carry from that. And as we did so, what emerged, what we were reminded of, was a story of faithfulness, of God's faithfulness through it all. After worship down during coffee hour, you can see a sketch of that story still on one of the walls of the fellowship hall. It's a bit of a story. It's told through sticky notes. And we considered a bit of our church mission statement. We are a Christ-centered community, welcoming all in hope and grace as we worship God, grow in faith, and serve one another. The challenges, the joys, the hopes of community and welcoming. The challenges, the joys, the hopes of worship and growing and serving. And you can see a bit of that on another wall in the fellowship hall this afternoon. And then we wondered together about the next 10 or so years. We wondered what the challenges might be. And we offered in that what our hopes are. And one of the things that emerged through all of this was this idea and this sense of this promise of community. Of how so often that was the means through which God was shown to be with individuals and the church as a whole throughout these past 50 years, of knowing you were a part of a community that loved, was growing in love, even in, maybe especially through, those challenges and challenging times. And so the questions and the challenges, the uncertainty and the hopes of a community not turned in on itself, but turned outward, outward facing and expanding. Standing on the past, reckoning with it in the good and the bad, but also turning and going forward, trusting in the God of new beginnings each and every day. So yesterday afternoon, and much like Jesus here with his disciples, this was an open-ended sort of exercise we did. We didn't end with everything tied up nice and neat with a bow on top. But neither did Jesus here, did he? But what Jesus does do is he reminds his disciples of who he is, of who he has always been and always will be. I am with you, Jesus says. The first and the last word on Jesus is that he is with us. He is with you. And it's in this promise that he commissions them. This passage is often called the Great Commission. This is your call, he says. Go. Go. Make disciples. Here's how you do it, by baptizing and teaching. Baptizing in the name, he says, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And on this odd little day in the church liturgical calendar that we call Trinity Sunday, this little Sunday that moves us from the seasons of Easter and the Pentecost celebration of last week into this long stretch of almost half the year that we call ordinary time. We have here this mention of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit here in this passage, but it's in the context of baptism imagery, which is great because for all the ins and outs of this doctrine we call the Trinity, right? This most frustratingly hard to wrap our heads around Christian doctrine. Baptism is a wonderful way to think of it. Baptize, immerse, cover with, surround with, and in the very community, fellowship, relationship of God's very self. This doctrine of the Trinity, more than anything, is a doctrine, a reminder, an affirmation of love. That God's very essence and being is a community. Father, Son, and Spirit, it's a community of love itself. And so at its core, our mission, our job, Jesus says here, is simple. It's simply to invite people into that. To share that, to show that, to embody that. That's really what teaching is, isn't it? Just like Evan helped show me how to tie my shoe. I watched him do it, and then I could do it. That's how he taught by showing me. That's what Jesus is saying. Our call and our mission is to go into the world embodying and showing this love of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and this community, this fellowship that we called into, the very community of God, and making disciples of that. And so, yes, there are challenges and uncertainties, no doubt. And so, look, when you or I, when we feel incomplete, or that when we as a congregation or a church ministering here and in our communities or even out in the wider world, we don't feel like we have quite enough or we even aren't quite sure ourselves of where to begin, where to end, how to go about this, whatever is going on, the promise at the basis of this call that we have and this commission remains. And so as we step into new beginnings of new days and weeks and seasons, and even when we are unsure in all of that, remember, when you look around and it seems to be all incomplete and you start thinking, this is it, this is what we have to work with, remember, When you or we are wondering about the challenges to such a ministry and calling and commission, in these days, remember, Jesus says, remember. Actually, the word there isn't so much the word remember as it is the word for see. It's the word that used to be translated behold. Behold, look, see, take notice. I, Jesus says, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus' parting words to his incomplete, faithfully trying, but also uncertain disciples. Take notice and see, he says, that I am with you always. I am with you all the days. All the way into the end, the close, the consummation of the age. The first and last word, the beginning and the end and everything in between is this promise of no less than God's very self, that in Jesus Christ, family, God is with you. God is with us always. And if that is true, and whether we are gathered together in this church or gathering to go out into our communities, whether we come together to do big and grand things in ministry or we are just barely able to stumble our way to love and serve our neighbor in ways that seem incomplete or insignificant or uncertain, it is in Jesus that rests all the authority of heaven and earth. And behold, family, behold, look, see, he is with you. He is with us each and every day, all the way to the end of the age. May this promise be the end and the beginning of who we are as we continue to take up Jesus' call, perhaps even in new and maybe even yet unimagined ways, but always, always inviting, immersing, surrounding this world, our communities, our neighbors, and one another in the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. For this abiding promise is our beginning and our end. And it is our everything in between. So I invite us now to sing in response to this good news. To sing, Lord, you give the great commission. Hymn number 429 in the hymn books. And we're going to sing verses 1 through 3 and then verse 5. Please stand in body or in spirit.